Hallelujah. 2023. May have stayed up late last night, but we're going to muster up some energy to give to the Lord, ain't we? Amen. If you're going to praise the Lord until the end of this service, why don't you show some praise right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to please you with my praise. I want to please you, God, with my worship. Hallelujah. 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 There is none like him. Somebody give me an amen up in here. Amen. There is none like him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful singing, beautiful playing, beautiful worship to our God. He is so deserving of it. Amen. If you're like me, you can't sing pretty like they can, but you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. For he's good. Amen. Amen. And he loves that praise. He loves the genuine worship. You may be, you know, they talk about introvert and all of that. You may be quiet, and you know that I'm not. You may be loud like me. You may be a hand raiser. You may be a humbling type of person that humbles yourself before the Lord. But if you worship God from your heart and you do it genuinely, it can be calm or it can be loud, and it brings glory to our Savior. Amen. You worship God how He is deserving. You worship God how you want to worship God. The Word of God shows us so many examples and tells us how to worship the Lord. And they're all so different. Worship Him. As long as you worship Him in spirit and in truth, that's all that matters. Amen, amen. If you got your Bible, I'm going to try to jump on in here. I do have a word from God. God spoke this to me some time back for this day. It's wonderful sometimes when God gives you a word, a thought, a sermon, an idea, and when He attaches a date to it, that's even better. And so I knew that as soon as God gave me this initial thought, that it was for this day in this service. And I'm so glad you're here. Amen. If you got your Bible, we're going to go to the book of Job. Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 13. Job chapter 13. And we're going to read verses, start at verse 15. Job 13, starting at verse 15. Now you got to understand before I read this, if you don't know, Job was a good man. He loved the Lord. He was better than all the others on the earth at that time, serving God, loving God. But at this moment in his life, Job was going through the worst time that we could ever imagine. Sickness, lost his family. He was a wealthy man at one time, lost all his wealth, lost his children, all sorts of things, boils all over his body, sick unto death. He had people telling him he must have done something wrong. You must have done something to make God mad, and all these negative influences in his life, all these people, these friends. And so he's going through all of this. And there's one time in the story of Job that his wife even tells him, why don't you just curse God and die? Give up. And then we got this scripture here. This is a powerful statement that Job in his infirmity and his trouble says, though he slay me, talking of God, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. I'm going to go to him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. In chapter 42 and verse 10, he says, the Bible tells us in the story of Job, and the Lord restored the fortune of Job when he prayed for his friends, those that were telling him it was no good. The Lord restored the fortune of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. His sickness went away. His trouble went away. His wealth came back. He was blessed with more than he had before. Very quickly, Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "And I say unto you," this is important letters here, "and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you." Stay with me. "Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The title that God has given me for this day in this sermon is Me in 23. Me, point to yourself, say me in 23. Sister Shelley, if you would pray before we move forward in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated if you're standing. Amen. Me in 23. I'm just going to jump on in here, and I hope you just get on the train, because here we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the first day of 2023, and I'm going to ask you right now what I want to know, what your pastor wants to know on this first day of 2023 is, how many of you here right now, you still, regardless of whatever's going on in your life, you still believe that you serve a God who will faithfully, abundantly, and faithfully see you through every single situation? How many of you believe that right now? How many of you believe that? Amen. I'm going to ask you something else. How many of you out here today believe that you serve a God who will answer you when you call Him? I'm glad I know that I serve a God. I might not get the answer I want all the time, but I'm glad I serve a Heavenly Father that when I call Him, He is there. The Bible teaches us in ways that He is as close as the mention of His name. How many of you believe that today? Amen. I'm glad when I call Him, He hears me and answers. Regardless, child of God, of your circumstance, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how dim, depressing, hard, cold, or dark this world may be in your life right now, how many of you still believe and know that through all the trouble, through all the struggles, through every decision, through every valley, through every mountain, through every trial, test, and storm that this world could throw your way, day after day, night after night, week after week, year after year, if you seek Him, regardless of what's going on, if you seek Him, you will what? You will find Him, regardless of what's going on, in your trouble, in your heartache, in your pain, in your agony, in your suffering, in confusion, in negativity, in doubt, in fear. You've got to understand and you've got to know through it all, if you call Him, He will hear you. If you seek Him in your troubles, you will find Him right there, ready to pick you up again, ready to take you where you need to go. How many of you here believe that today? Amen. Oh, come on. I know. It's time to get up, get ready, and get ready to worship the King. Amen. How many of you know that if you start knocking, I'm talking spiritual right now, you start knocking some spiritual doors in your life, you start knocking, then you have the faith to believe and know that there's a God on the other side. There's the Good Shepherd on the other side who's going to open the door and welcome you in. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. Somebody say amen. Open doors that no one, Not me, not your neighbor, not your job, not your school, not your principal, not your boss, no money, nothing in this world can shut a door that God has opened. Amen. God has opened doors here at Crossroads. And I'm here to tell you today, it's time for us to stop standing at the doorpost and step on in, because what's on the inside is greater than what's on the outside. And if you're knocking, you're going to have a God who opens. How many of you believe that today? Amen. How many of you believe you serve a God who loves you? Amen, amen. Child of God, I am here to preach to you today, to tell you today, right now, this moment, this day, that the God we serve here at Crossroads is not just another God made up. It's a God who spoke this world into existence. It's a God who was and is yet to come. The God we serve here that did speak that world into existence, that created and gave life to humanity. He is, hear me, He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God in 2023 as He was in 1901. He's the same God as He was from the very beginning. Somebody say amen. If you believe me today, why don't you give a hand praise to the living God? Here to tell you right now, He is still a healer. Yes, He is. How many of you believe that today? He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He's still a way maker. He's still a soul saver. Yes, He is. He still brings peace. He still gives forgiveness. He still cleanses sin. He still pours out His promise. He still works miracles. He still has signs and wonders that follow Him. He is the same God now as He was for Grandma. Amen. Somebody say amen. This ain't no new style of Pentecostal apostolic church, a faith-believing church. This is a right now, old time, same time Pentecost church, because He's the same God. The experience they had way back then in the book of Acts, we can have right now. Do you believe me today? If you believe me, won't you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today's sermon, I'm sorry, I get off on trails. I can't help myself. I don't care. He's the same God. He's here with us today. Amen. Today's sermon title, Me in 23. It's very similar to a company that you see advertised all the time. Sounds very familiar to you probably. You may have heard of it. How many of you have ever heard of 23andMe? You ever hear of that? 23andMe. 23andMe getting their name from your 23 chromosomes that make you, along with your DNA, who you are. They make up in who you personally are. 23andMe is a company that extracts someone, whoever goes to them or uses their service. They take a sample. They put something in your mouth and they get your saliva and they take your DNA cells and they analyze them and your genetic makeup and genetic data. They do all these things. It is a company that is often used in our world today for health purposes. See, because if you have an issue in your family, you have problems in your family, physical issues, they can trace that stuff by looking and analyzing who you are, your DNA. They do these things. But like another company that you have most likely heard of, that you can find and you see it advertised all the time as well, Ancestry.com, you'll find it. 23andMe is not only used for health purposes, but like Ancestry, it can also, and it is often used, to trace your past, to trace and find your ancestors, to go back to your beginning of your family roots. It goes back to your history. Are you with me? Your 23 chromosomes and your DNA define you. They make you who you are. Somebody say amen. Now I want you to hear me. The company, 23andMe, looks at your past. They trace the past of you. That is their focus. Not now, their focus is the past. But what God has strongly, and I emphasize the word strongly, impressed upon me to share with you today is 23andMe may track your past, but the year 2023 is the year for you and for me to let go of the past. Oh, come on, somebody. God wants me to tell you 2023 is the year for you to let it go. 23 is the year for you and for I to forget about the things that are behind us and reach for the things that are before us, because there's greater things before us than there was behind us. Defeat was behind us, but victory is before us. Sin was behind us, but salvation is before us. Pain was behind us. Conviction was with us, but now we have freedom and salvation through Him. Somebody say amen. It is time for us to let go of the past pains and sorrows. Sometimes some things in our past. I had somebody ask me last night, and no, not being mean or rude or anything. They asked me. They said, "Have you ever drank alcohol?" And I was like, "Well." Yeah, in my past, I used to drink a lot of it. But you know what? I don't focus on what I used to be. I focus on who He has called me to be. I focus on who He has made me to be. We got to understand that who you used to be when you take on the name of Jesus in water baptism, when you repent of your sins, He forgives you and He fills you with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, that you are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2023 is a time for us to let go of our past. They are behind us, but greater things are before us. It's time. This year, God wants me to tell you, and God, I speak to myself as well. 2023 is the year for us to shift our focus from our past flaws, from our past failures, from our past shortcomings, our past mistakes, past pain that has been put upon us, hurt, sorrow, discomfort, discouragement, and focus this year from this moment more so vividly than ever before on the one who can and who will encourage, heal, make whole, restore, redeem, release a peace that passes all understanding, set us free, and give us life and revival and refreshing. Now is not the time for us to look back at our sorrow and pain and hurt and the things that we've caused other people and the times that we've messed up. Today is a new day. Today is a new time. He's still God. He's still good. He's still faithful. Oh, somebody come home with me. He's still able and He desires to touch your life. Now's the time to let it go and grab a hold of Jesus. Take your focus off the distractions and get your focus on Him. Because this world's full of distractions. But through it all, there is one that stays constant. He is unmovable, unbreakable, unchangeable. This world may shift all around, but He's still standing in the center of it all. And if you focus upon Him, the things around you may be spinning, but you will not stumble, you will not fall, you will not be dizzy, because you kept your mind and your eyes upon Jesus. It is in His character. I want you to stay with me. In who He is. It is in His DNA, if you will, to heal, to touch, to minister, to deliver, to forgive, to bless, to inspire us, to strengthen us when we are weak, to bring help when we need help, to release hope when we need hope in a hopeless world. It is in who He is to bring peace and joy and happiness, even in times of sadness and sorrow. It is in who He is to do these things. Best of all, the greatest of all, it is in Him and it is in His character to fill and empower us with His promised gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the best gift. Like any good father. And Jesus said something similar to what I'm about to say. Like any good, able, loving, caring father. It is His desire. It is who He is. It is His desire to minister, to provide, to protect us, to shelter us, to cover us, and bless us. But I want you to hear me now. That's His desire. You got sickness, He wants to remove it. You got confusion, He wants to give you clarity. You're unsure about some things, He wants to give you surety. You're weak, He wants to give you strength. You're down and depressed, He wants to lift you up and encourage you. It's in who He is. That is His desire. But in reality, in 2023, just as it always has been, if it is to be, He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to draw you closer to Him. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to revive your soul. He wants to give you refreshing and renewal. He wants to do these wonderful things. But in 2023, if it is to be, it is up to me. He wants to do it. He wants to minister. But if it is to be, I need healing, Lord. Well, if you need a healing, it's up to you. Are you with me? The Word of God is completely full. From start to finish with examples. It is full of examples of God miraculously, supernaturally, faithfully ministering to His people. It's full of it. He did the work. He always has and always will. But in most circumstance, He just wants to be a preacher one day. That's what it is. Somebody say, hey. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right. Now listen. The Word of God is completely full. Old Testament, New Testament. Are you with me? It is full of examples of God ministering to people miraculously and powerfully. But in most instances, if you read it, if you look at it, and you really look at the stories, and you see what God did for them or to them or in their situation, you will realize that in most cases, in order for them to receive the blessing, in order for them to receive the miracle, restoration, or whatever it was that they needed from God, it took effort from the recipient. I know it's quiet in here, but I hope you're receiving this. This is what God wants you to hear. This is what God wants me to hear. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. Open your ears in Jesus' name. It took effort from those that needed to receive. The scripture I read to you earlier, this sermon was, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find Him. Knock and the door will be opened. You know, we can use that in several different ways, but if you really think about that, that's all actions. It takes action to ask. It takes effort. If I need something, if you have something I need or you can help me, if I never ask you, Fred, you don't know. But when I say, hey, Fred, can you help me up? I can't get up. He's a good guy. He's going to say, yeah, I can help you up. Boom. It's action. Seeking. It takes effort to seek. Knocking. It takes effort to knock at a door that God will open. Those are actions that it takes. And he says, if you put in the effort, this is what it speaks to me, is if you put in the effort, you'll see me, you'll hear me, and I'll open doors for you. But you have to put in the effort. And we see these stories throughout the Bible. Are you still with me? The very first miracle we see. How many of you know the first miracle Jesus did? He turned water into wine, right? Turn water into wine. Hey, it's not even my time yet. I don't want them to know who I am yet. Come on, just do what he says. All right, I'll turn the water into wine, but you got to go get some pots of water first. Go get the pots of water. And he did a work. You can go all the way back in the Old Testament and you'll see Naaman with his leprosy. Oh, heal me. I want to be healed. Well, if you want to be healed, you've got to go to the Jordan, dip 7 times. And when he did that, when he put in the effort, God says, I'm able, I'll do it right now, but I want to see if you're faithful and you'll believe me for it. Go dip 7 times. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Seek and you'll find him. Zacchaeus was a short man. He was a little guy. He had a lot of issues. A lot of people didn't like him. He was looked at as a negative, mean, horrible person. But he wanted to see Jesus. But he couldn't because of the crowd. So what does he do? I can't see him. These people hate me. If I try to get through them, they'll bash me all over the place. But if I climb, I might be able to see him. And so he climbed the tree and he looked down and he seen Jesus. And when he put in the effort in climbing, guess who seen him? Jesus seen him. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. You went up to see me. Now I see you. Come on down. It took you for me to see you. It took you to see me. It took your effort. Now come down. I'm going to go to your house. We see this time and time and time again. And we go to Lazarus. And Jesus loved Lazarus. And we see Lazarus he's going to die. And his sister comes to Jesus and says, Lazarus is sick. He needs you to come right now. And Jesus said, I'm going to go there in a little while. See, we got to realize, I think we had a revival who said you got to be willing to endure the little whiles. You remember that? And Jesus said, hey, Martha, you got to wait a little while. I got some things I got to do. I'm going to make it there, but wait a little while. And when Jesus got to there, they waited and they waited and they waited. And finally, Lazarus died. And then Jesus comes and they say, she comes running and she says, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Don't you know who I am? You came to me and that took action and I respond to your faith in action. But it hadn't happened yet and now it's too late. Listen to me, it's never too late for Jesus to move and to work. Jesus came because she came to him. But Jesus, she said, he stinks already. He's been dead for four days by now. He's already gone. He stinks already. He's in the tomb. There's a stone over it. And Jesus says to them, just move the stone. And he spoke to him to come forth. And life came to him. But then it took action again when he said, now he's alive. Remove his grave clothes. And when they removed him, he was alive and well. I'm here to tell you today, there's over and over and over and over again, we can look at things. We can look at the vessels. We can look at the woman that had nothing that needed vessels. And the oil kept pouring into the vessels. They had to get vessels. We can look at the boy who only had a couple of loaves of bread and some fish and fed 5,000 people. If he was not willing to give what he had, he would have not received 12 baskets of leftovers. Are you with me? Somebody say, it takes me. Come on. Thank you, Sister Amanda. Somebody say, it takes me. It takes action on our part. It took action for them. Why'd you read about Job? I promise I'm trying to close, but you got to hear this. We always think of physical, removing stones, going to pick up vessels, going to get water pots. We think of these physical things, climbing trees. Job didn't have he had physical issues. But what changed Job's trouble into blessing, what took Job from a curse to a blessing, from sickness to healing, from poor to wealthy, it wasn't a physical act, it was a spiritual act. These people are giving me a hard time. And instead of crying about myself again, instead of pouting to God again, I'm going to pray for them. God, touch my friends. Bless those, didn't Jesus say, bless those that curse me. Bless those, touch those that hate me and want to just use me. And it was when Job gave up of himself and took his focus off of his own self and put his focus on them and prayed for them that God intervened. It took spiritual action. All of these recipients, all of them, had issues. They weren't perfect people. There was one man that came to Jesus and he had devils, but he came to Jesus. Talk about the woman with the issue of blood, and she fought the crowd to touch Jesus. It took action. All of these recipients, they had issues. They weren't perfect people. They had shortcomings, if you will. They had problems, either physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, or just multiple issues. In their humanity, they had flaws and shortcomings, but they all made up in their minds. That's the key. If I will, he will. Are you still with me? They all made up in their minds. I've got this issue of blood. I've had it for 12 years. But if I can just touch him, if I can just connect myself to him, I'll be made whole. There's a crowd. We want to make excuses. Well, but there's this, but there's that. But the doctors say this. But my neighbor says this. My brother says this. My sister says this. But the internet told me this. We make all these excuses. But God's saying, I'm still here. I'm unmovable. I'm unchangeable. If you just come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you strength. I'll give you help. I'll give you hope. But you got to make up in your mind. I'm going to put in the effort so I can see him, touch him, feel him. Amen. 23 chromosomes in your DNA make you who you are. But because of who he is, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be in 2023. I'm going to close. You can be made whole. Not because of who you are. Oh, yes. Not because of who I am. Not because of the preacher. Not because of your neighbor. But because of Jesus Christ alone. Because of the blood and his sacrifice. Because of who he is. We can be set free. We can have peace and joy, restoration, and all the wonderful things that God has for us to receive. The pathway to the healings and the miracles and the blessings and the spiritual breakthrough and victory of 2023. The pathway to these wonderful things. They're going to take me and it's going to take you. But we get them through him. I want you to stand with me if you would. If you're able. Going to take me. I've told this story numerous times and I want to tell it to you again. If you've never heard it, There's several that haven't. If you have, just receive it anyways. I'm closing with this story here. It's going to take you. It's going to take me, and He'll do it. It was a man, 23 years old, I think, came to church all the time. Came to church with his family who were set free, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They loved the Lord. They came to church faithfully. He came with them all the time. He had, I think, three children. He's only 23 years old, already have three kids, works a good job, makes good money. Came to church faithfully. And God spoke to me so loudly. You know, sometimes God impresses you, God speaks to you. And He told me to warn the entire church, and we had a church full. And He told me to warn the church that soon, very, very soon. I didn't want to do this, and God made me do this, and I'm glad I did. But He said, very, very soon, someone in this congregation is going to die and pass away. And they better get themselves right with me before it's too late. And I hesitated, and God strongly told me to do it. And I did that, and people were praying. And I went to him. His name was Jerry. I went to Jerry, and I said, Jerry. Never repented before in his life. He never prayed. He never done anything. He's been coming for over a year. Even raised his hand sometimes. It's Jerry, today's a good day to pray. I'll pray with you if you want me to. Today's a good day to repent. And he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, I'm almost ready. I'm almost ready. He went home. And that week after he went home, he got hit by a truck carrying coal. Knocked his son, who was in a car seat, out of the window, who survived. Killed him. He was in the hospital for about 3 more days, already dead. And those words ring in my ear. Pastor, I'm almost ready. God called for action for all of us that day. Some took action. Sadly, he did not. And I don't tell that sad story to just, and I don't do that in a bad way, but I say that to say this. God wants to heal your heart and your mind and your life. He wants to bless Crossroads as a people and a congregation. He wants to give us an increase of souls and blessings and financial blessings as well. He wants to bring great things to our church that He said He was going to do. But it's not just, we're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. It takes action.